Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am so excited to release this episode, and I just want to say how grateful I am for each and every one of you for tuning in and listening and following the show, and I would love to hear from you. So go ahead and send me an email, amanda@amandaacker.com. Acker is spelled A-C-K-E-R, and or you can follow me over on Instagram at the Let Good Things In show. I share a lot of inspirational things, reels, posts, stories, you name it. I love trying new things over on Instagram, and I would love to hear from you over there. Send me a DM if you would like as well. One more thing, if you're loving the show, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review so more people can find the show. All right, enough with all that. Let's talk about today's episode. So as many of you may already know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I wanted to release an episode, my first episode of May, to be centered around mental health. So I chose to release Sam Led. He's amazing. And we talked about so many things, especially our thoughts. And I'm just really excited to have you listen. So let me introduce him first. So Sam Led is my guest. And here's his bio. Combining his studies from the University of South Florida and Nova Southeastern University, Sam shares a groundbreaking new understanding that helps thousands of people tap into their natural innate health and resilience so they can overcome anxiety, fear, and unhealthy habits without strategies, techniques, or willpower. Sam has become a powerful conduit for those wishing to recover and flourish successfully from any major life setback or loss in their lives. After being misdiagnosed multiple times by well-meaning mental health professionals, he was finally diagnosed with ADHD and experienced severe anxiety for over 2 decades. He was suffering silently. Then, in 2005, after a series of traumatic events that led him down a rabbit hole, he finally began to see that the nature of his suffering was made up and illusory. I think I said that right. That he was one thought away from mental well-being, as well as we all are. That we are not living in a world of our outside circumstances, but we are living 100% in a world made up of thought. That the truth to who we are is below the noise. And yes, this conversation covers all of that and more. So without further ado, here's today's episode. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you
here. It's an honor. I love your podcast. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me. I'm my first Pittsburghian host. Being from Southern California, most people think Pittsburgh is in Ohio. But I know exactly where it is. No offense. It's west of Harrisburg. Which is, you're in a great place. I love Pittsburgh. So,
It's a good place. It's a good place. We do have good pizza.
Really good pizza.
Thank you for saying that.
I mean, forget about a pizza. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. We could talk about Pittsburgh all day and California and the differences, but that is not why we're here. just to start things off, Sam, just tell us, your story. And you're just this amazingly positive person. So what got you there?
You should interview me first thing in the morning before coffee. Then it'd be like, you'd have a different opinion of me. My name is Sam Led. I'm based out of Santa Barbara, California. I'm a Californian. We speak very slowly. No, I'm kidding. I'm a transformational coach, soon to be author of a book. We've changed the name of it. It's been a kind of a over a decade evolution in process, in progress. The book is called Not Broken. It was first Fearless, based on the podcast that I have, The Fearless Now. And it's on neurodiversity, on folks that have brains that work just a little bit different. And we're going to touch upon that today. But I started a podcast because I I think that we need to hear, we need to know, we need to touch and feel and understand brains. You can't really touch a brain, but you can kind of get a picture of what a brain, MRI scan, brains that work differently. And there are over 120 million neurodiverse folks, more than it probably.
Wow. Undiagnosed,
you know, in this globe of ours, this spinning rock we call Earth. And through our own innocence, through our own psychological innocence, to no fault of anybody, we see the world the wrong way. And I say that with love and affection for all the PhDs and MSWs and LMFTs and MDs out there. And we can go on and on and on. All the abbreviations for all the schooling we did, right? That we're not living in a world of our outside circumstances, even though we think we are. We're living in a world of thought. We're living this psychological experience, this illusion, this simulation. We're not going to Terrence McKenna-esque territory. I'm talking about literally we're living in a world of our experience, our thinking. And once we understand how thought and how mind works, we're able to kind of see what's truth and what's Memorex, what is a recording, old conditioning, trauma. And that really helps with folks that see the world with a brain that synapses a little differently. So that's the jumping off point. I'll let you get steering the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that. I agree with you on that. You know, I've said this before too, like we could be in prison in our own minds, right? Mm. Because we do things based off of, you know, our upbringing or what we were conditioned to believe to be true about the world and people and everything else, you know. And I know for me, I have OCD. So I don't know if that falls into.
Oh yeah. No, I have it too. Okay. I've taken the whole tour of the DSM-5. innocently.
Right, me too.
Innocently. And I grew up in a mental health family. That sounds really weird saying that, but two wonderful parents, that my father being in the mental health industry and my mother too.
Yeah.
Innocently, through their conditioning, they see the world outside in, and it doesn't work that way. And we all have this amazing technology between your ears, this amazing laptop computer between our ears that hasn't had a software update since like the Paleolithic era, since like caveman times. And we think that, you know, in 2022, things are going to change. But once we start using the technology between our ears to work for us and not against us, we then begin to see the illusion. We then begin to see that we're making it up as we go along, all of us.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, and I think too, like when you realize that, you know, because I know for me and my life experiences, I always compared myself to other people. Like, oh, well, you know, she's doing this and I'm just sitting here like doing drugs. I'm so useless, you know, and you start that spiral, it puts you in a very dark place because you're just constantly comparing yourself to other people, but you are you. Mm-hmm. And the way you think is different than the way anyone else thinks. So maybe someone has $1 million home and the career that you dreamed of having, but that might not be what's meant for you. You have to figure out what's good for you and what feels good and what your, you know, like you said, your laptop between your ears is telling you to do,
exactly.
You know, and I think a lot of times we lose sight of that when we start looking at the outside world.
Innocently. And once we begin to see, like, you can have the greatest day of your life and still have an illness, still have bills to pay and have debt, and still have a relationship that maybe is not perfect, is not going your way in the moment, and still have a great day. My uncle, who was a great person, he died about 7 months ago. My uncle Steve, of leukemia, and he was a therapist and just a mensch of a man, just a good human being. And in the days before his death, he was still cracking jokes. He was still present. But our essential nature, who we are, underneath the noise of our thinking. So if you look at noise, like let's just go to what's his name? Who's the guy that did the pretty trees? Bob Ross.
Oh, Bob Ross.
Okay, yes. Let's do a Bob Ross diagram. Like, we are Bob Ross. Like, our essential nature, who we are, is well-being, is good, is loving, is resilient as hell. You look what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, I was on a podcast last week. We were talking about how resilient those people are under the horrible circumstances. There was a interview done, and I think it was on CBS, just to segue from what I was talking about, painting that Bob Ross, it's not bullshit, it's the truth. That's who we are underneath our conditioning, underneath our belief systems. All of us, we all get caught up in our machinery, but we all have choice to either believe the nonsense going on between our ears when we're caught up, when our quality of our thinking is dark, temporarily, we all get caught up in thought turbulence, but then it always settles, always. But getting back to the story, I was watching this interview. It was, CBS, one of the networks. And there was this two older guys, probably in their early 80s, late 70s, sitting in a gorgeous park in Odessa. Odessa is a city in southern Ukraine, former Soviet Union, gorgeous city, thousands of years of history. They're born and raised in Odessa, and they've been playing chess every weekend, probably for like 40 years. Every weekend, they'd never missed a beat. Now, the Russian army is closing in on Odessa.
Right.
And so these are elderly folks that sit in there on the most gorgeous day, knowing that this monolithic army is about to pounce on them. And they're sitting there playing chess and having the best chess game of their life. And they were interviewed and they were like, you know, right now we're really present. Right now we're here. Right now we're enjoying this chess game. We've been doing this for 40 years. We've been best friends since we were kids. We're now in our late 70s, early 80s. What's going to, am I going to worry about the Russian army coming in right now? I could be hiding or I'm going to live underneath the noise of my thinking and I'll know what to do after this game. Like, we always know what to do if we trust our intuition, if we trust who we are underneath our anxiety, our OCD, our ADHD, that it's thought. It's not our, it's our psychology. It's not who we are. And once we can see that the psychology part of it is wonderful, that it's all part of this human experience, but who we are is so much bigger than our human psychology. And all the great sages talk about that. Like, you look at from Jesus to Buddha to Jobu from one of my favorite movies, Major League with Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
You remember Jobu? He's sitting in the locker room praying to the you know. It doesn't matter what you book.
I don't think I've seen that. Classic. Oh, now I need to watch that. I love Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you'll love this movie then. It's a classic. It doesn't matter what God you believe in, what every spiritual tradition, whether it's Hinduism or Christianity or Judaism or whatever it is, Muslim, they all point back to the same thing, is that, and they all got it, whether it's Jesus or Moses or Jobu, is that underneath our thinking, we're perfect. True story.
Hmm.
But when we stay in our intellect, when we live our lives 100% in our intellect, that's where it leads to suffering, because the intellect is machine code. It's the brain. And the brain loves us. The brain loves us dearly. It wants to keep us alive. Its sole purpose is to keep us alive. So it'll do some silly stuff to keep us alive. And it doesn't care if it makes you crazy. It doesn't care if it makes you suffer. It's going to do it anyways. But just knowing that and noticing the mental gymnastics that the brain does is enough to see that we're all just one thought away from mental health. We just don't know it and we don't pay attention to enough. And I'm a card-carrying ADHD, OCD, anxiety disorder, DSM-5 member. I'm a member. I don't know if you're a member of the special club that I am, but
I think I am. Yeah, I have OCD, anxiety, and manic depression.
Wonderful. So we're all in the same union. And thank goodness there's no Jimmy Hoffa that's running the union, but possibly. Anyway, it's a bad joke. But my point is that once we see the illusion called thought, once we see like we never taught how to use this technology called thought thinking. We really weren't. Like, if we were taught how to use our mind, right? Like a pilot goes in for flight training. Like, say you want to be you want to get your pilot's license. They teach you about the science of flight. They teach you about how how the jet engines work, how to navigate and how to all the stuff that goes along with flying, right? And then you get your pilot's license after you accrue thousands of hours. They don't do that when we go through our formative education. It's
no,
right? We're not taught how the mind works. Like that we're not the sum total of our thinking. That thought is an illusion. That we have this salad bar of thought, and you ultimately have agency over what thoughts you want to give life to or not. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine had a client who was just getting out of prison and who shares, and my friend is a coach, very well-respected coach, very successful coach. And he was depressed. He was, you know, he was just caught up. And he said to the coach, he's like, if I had this understanding underneath my belt, I would have not committed the crime. I would have done the time. I would have noticed my crazy ass sideways thinking. Saw the thought turbulence, knowing that it's going to settle like it always does. Like we have a built-in self-settling system. And then I would have just like sat with it and let it move through me, because thought's energy. It's just moving through us. And that's so powerful. And that's how like I was able to kind of see my own conditioning, my own frailties, if you want to use the labels, my own learning disabilities growing up and how much I suffered and how long it took me to get through school and in college and grad school and all this self-torture, because I believed every thought that was coming through my head, almost not like every thought, but.
No, I feel you. Yeah. Like when you mentioned the guy getting out of prison, I can relate to that so much, because same scenario. Yeah. Like if I would have, you know, because I had the thoughts, you know, it's not like I went in and was like, oh, this is the right choice. Right. This is the right thing to do. I'm going to go commit this crime because I deserve to commit this crime. You know, I knew it was wrong.
Right.
But I also had the same thought of, if I don't do this, I might lose a friend, or I might, you know, something else bad's going to happen, or I need to do, you know, you have these irrational thoughts.
We all do too.
That you believe.
Yeah. We all do. And that's knowing that we have 80,000 thoughts a day and that some of them are really dark. I mean,
yeah.
Mother Teresa had dark thoughts. Your mother had dark thoughts. My grandmother had dark thoughts. You know, that we are not our thinking. And knowing that the quality of our thinking is not always, it's not a constant, right? Like this prison, we've shared this understanding. It's called the three principles, which is how mind really works. It's not a technique. It's not it's how the system works, how our mind works, how the brain works. And they've taken this understanding into the prison systems in California. You know, they went to like Chino and they went to San Quentin and they went to these other hardcore, really real, like serious state prisons, and lifers that really had no desire to show up in the world, show up in daily life as someone of who they really are, which is underneath our psychology. We're all perfect. It's just the thought. Yeah. It's just thought and thinking. Come back after a couple of weeks of working with a coach or a psychologist that shares this understanding and sees their well-being and sees the illusion called thought. Like, it's made up, ladies and gentlemen. It's made up. Like, you know, life's a contact sport. You know, life's not easy sometimes. We're going to get our knocks. We're going to do stupid shit. We're going to learn. But that's all part of the experience. And once we see like the quality of our state of mind, quality of thought, it vacillates all day long. And knowing, kind of like, for example, you ever put bad gas in your car? I'm sure we all have.
I have.
All right. Your car is like rough idle. It's like not performing right. Well, you're not going to just you just drive until either you put new gas in or it just clears it out of the system. The fuel injectors clean it out. I'm a car guy.
Right.
Okay. I don't like electric car. But anyways, another whole podcast episode. but that's the thing with thought. It's the same thing. Like all of us have experienced turbulence on an airplane, just like we've had bad gas, right? Well, no, most people don't love turbulence. I mean, I'm not sitting there like, bring on the turbulence, Space Mountain.
So cool. I'm so excited. Might die.
Yeah. But no one's ever died from turbulence. The plane is very safe. The pilots know it's just a nuisance, even though it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And the pilots do the best job they can to find a smoother altitude. Well, that's what our brain does. And when we are caught up in thought turbulence, whether it's from old conditioning or whether we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning, we're just not feeling the day, the morning. If we give it a little bit of time and we sit with it, new thoughts going to come through. Like it always does. Like you can like have road rage in the morning and have the best rest of your day.
Yeah. You know, the more you're talking, this is very enlightening, by the way.
Because, I'm not trying to be, but
it is because like, I know these things,
but
in daily life, like, you know, I'm an addict. So I used to have, so I would have these negative thoughts and instead of working through them and waiting for, you know, because it does, you're right. It evens out. It goes away. It's not permanent. You can have a bad moment, but I would just pick up and use like, okay, well, I'm feeling sad. So let me get high or, you know, this person pissed me off. So I'm going to go get drunk. You know, it was always like, I couldn't handle it. But now that I'm sober, I'm feeling all of my emotions. Right. So I'm noticing like, oh, I'm sad right now. But then a couple hours go by and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not sad anymore. Like I'm laughing, you know, like today I was all over the place emotionally,
right.
You know, but I didn't pick up and I'm still here. I'm okay.
Right. Amanda, that's your essential. You're not see all that turbulence is not you. That's just thought. We're not our thoughts. It just arises from us and moves through us. And you know, we've shared this understanding what's it called? IOPs, you know, outpatient. Because I've worked in
intensive outpatient.
I've worked in the recovery field. Worked with clients in the recovery field, and they would say like, "I'm feeling really anxious because I don't know if I can make my car payment next month. So I'm going to go use to calm down the anxiety." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, what if you just like sat with your anxiety and did nothing about it? What would happen?" And they'd be like, "I don't know. I just feel really uncomfortable." But but then you won't feel uncomfortable. So it's like, I was listening to this coach. His name's Aaron Turner. He's one of my favorite coaches. He's very funny. He looks like Dudley Moore. He's like really, really funny guy. For those of you millennials that are listening, Dudley Moore was a comedian and an actor in the movie Arthur. And I'm aging myself. And he talks about like clarity of mind. He's like, you know, if you're in a bad mood, and you know, you're not feeling the love to your partner or whomever it is, wait an hour because that's going to move through. You're going to, once you see, like, it's not them causing you to feel anything. It's you causing you to feel something. It's not our outside circumstances at all. But that's a truth. That's not even like debatable. But we think it's the opposite because our mind needs to find a fall guy. Our brain, again, keep us alive. The brain thinks that thought, you know, remember what Steve did to you the other day? Remember what he did last week? You can't forget that because your survival is dependent. Like, that's how brain works. But it's never our outside circumstances, but our intellect's going to tell us differently. The brain's a machine. It's a computer. But who we are, the sum total of who we are, is not our computer. Like, you didn't fall in love with your husband. Your husband, it didn't become a musician because his brain, it's like, you know, it's probably a really good idea, a very practical decision to become a musician. You know, you should, there's long-term stability in being, in playing. No, there isn't. But no. You don't fall in love with your intellect. You solve quadratic equations with your intellect. You know, you do chemistry with your intellect. You build a car with your intellect, but you design the car with your heart underneath your thinking. No, it comes for it's. You can call it God energy. You can call it Christ consciousness. You can call it any. Doesn't matter. You can call it a ham sandwich. It doesn't matter. But underneath our thinking, that space before thought, when we don't have a lot in our mind, or when our thinking slows down, or we just slow down, we start to get quiet. Like when we go out in nature, when you go walk around the river, that river bank area in Pittsburgh, it's gorgeous. On a summer day. And the sun is out and people are just having the best day ever. And you're with your beloved and music's in the back. I mean, I can paint this whole Bob Ross kind of with the trees out and the birds chirping.
You took me there.
Okay.
Yeah.
that's who we are. That's who we really are. It's not the, you know, remember the, in Peanuts, the wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not the wah, 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 wahs. And it's okay to get caught up too. Like, you're going to get caught up. We're going to forget. I mean, it's, we're going to forget. But knowing that we're going to like get wrapped up, I call it, actually, I didn't call it this. My coach calls it getting wrapped up around the axle of our thought and thinking. When we're like really feeling our thinking, it's like, feels really real. We're like, fuck. What the fuck? Yeah. That is like, that's when you start to notice like the illusion. Like, but you also have compassion for yourself enough when you really get caught up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like, I know, like, I'm sure you can relate with OCD. Oh, yeah. Like, there's days where, like, my brain does not stop. No, I mean, I could be fully aware.
Right now, I'm with you.
I can be fully aware that it's just thought. But at the same time, my brain just doesn't let me, like, get out of whatever I'm thinking about. Yeah. Like, it can be something, like, I have horrible thoughts on a regular basis that my husband is not going to make it home and he's going to die and I'm going to have to figure out how to live life without him. And I completely convince myself that it's going to happen and it's horrible.
No, I'm living that because I do the same thing. Like, I'll say, and again, ladies and gentlemen, you can call OCD turkey sandwich on rye. You can call whatever the fuck you want. Excuse my French. Whatever the fuck you want. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. It's how the brain, it's how the machinery works for some of us. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you, Amanda. There's nothing wrong with me. It's how your brain works. It's like, do you know that, and I'm going to get back to this. This is really good, but I'm going to segue to the ADHD part of my brain that during caveman times, and I heard this from some other, I think it was a TEDx speaker. I forgot his name. So if you ever listen to this guy, if you're ever listening to our podcast, I'm not stealing this from you. I'm just borrowing what you said. It was brilliant. But they did a lot of studies on folks with ADHD and the kinds of diverse brains that we have.
Yeah.
And found that the hunter-gatherers, which were the men that propagated the species, which basically kept the generations, the family line alive, right? Were the ones with ADHD because they could multitask and they could kill the saber-toothed tiger and then come home and help his partner, you know, take care of the kids and, you know, clean the meat and cook the dinner, right? So like the one, it's only until like maybe like 60 years ago that ADHD now is all of a sudden a problem. But during caveman times, even the last 500 years, ADHD was like a positive trait. I mean, that's where there's the disconnect. So if you look at the DSM-5, which bless its heart is innocently putting labels on people. Well, homosexuality was considered deviant behavior and was considered a disorder until like 1972 or 73 when it was taken. So my point is, ladies and gentlemen, see beyond your conditioning. Once you see beyond your conditioning, your whole life is going to open up. See beyond your temporary state of mind and notice when the mind kind of goes sideways, because it will. It's not going to stop. Getting back to the OCD thing is that I would always ask my partner, I would ask her, like, are you okay? Everything's fine. But over and over again, like three times a day, like, are you okay? Like,
I do the same thing.
And I don't even realize I'm doing it. And it's so fucking weird. It's like, my point is that you find your tribe, and if you find a partner that loves you for your are you okays, and
what's wrong?
What's wrong? Right, that's another one I do daily, and sees beyond the thought turbulence that we all experience. It just manifests in different ways. You found yourself a keeper, and that's why I always say you will find your tribe, whether it's in work, how you make your living, or it's in your loved ones. Well, maybe not love, maybe not your family. You don't choose your family, but you get what I mean. So.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I ask my husband regularly, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing wrong. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. And last night I remember, because my partner, she was working many hours. She was, you know, back-to-back clients. And she's a coach too, business coach. And she shares this understanding. And she was tired. I remember I said, "Are you okay?" And she says to me very calmly, "Sam, I'll let you know." I can't stop it because I'll let you know, you know, when there's something wrong. Trust me, I'll let you know, but everything is fine. And I took it initially, I took it because my brain intercepted it. Our brain's like a helicopter parent, you know,
it's fucking
caught up in it. Gets the brain is the greatest piece of technology in the history of technology, right? But
yeah,
sometimes it interferes with the intelligence behind the Wizard of Oz pulling the strings, like the Wizard of Oz. So who we are is underneath all that. The truth to who we are, and all the greatest sages, all the folks in America that believe in Jesus should see this. And if you're going to church or synagogue or mosque or wherever you go to pray wherever you pray, doesn't matter what you do. If you think that religion is not working for you, then you're looking at it from your intellect and not from your heart, from your soul. And we see our intelligence underneath all of that.
Mm.
And that's where religion comes in. Not the politics of religion, not the church, not the Catholic Church or whatever you believe in. It's when we quiet down. When we really see. It's in that space, as Michael Neal, the greatest coach, one of my favorite coaches, he's one of the purveyors of this understanding, calls this the space before thought. Mm. When we get moved by a piece of music or your husband.
Oh, music. I love music.
You think music comes from like the synapsing going on in our brain? No, music comes from something beyond that. Because if it did, it'd all sound like, I don't know, like David Hasselhoff and Kraftwerk. You know, it'd all sound like zeros and ones. It wouldn't be unique. We wouldn't have Shostakovich and Beethoven. We wouldn't have the Beatles. We wouldn't have Pink Floyd. Because we would all be trying to figure out why it sounds that way, and we would end up wasting all our time and not creating.
Yeah. Yeah. Creating, you know, music is one of those things. I was just talking about music yesterday. It's so powerful, and it can really, for me, like, it's one of my favorite releases is listening to music. Like, I'm not a singer, but you catch me driving, I'm singing.
You got a microphone right there. You got all the equipment.
I sure do.
Let's hear Linda Ronstadt come out. I mean, like, it's right there. I mean, so, yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, how boring music would be if we didn't have our own
soul, spirit.
Soul, yeah. Yeah, all of that, you know, because we're listening. And music is so powerful because you're literally listening to somebody else's heart. Like, and you're relating to
That's
it.
Right.
And then it brings people together in live concerts, and just the whole movement of music is just beautiful. I could talk about music for days.
Listen to Jimmy. Listen to Jimmy. You know, if y'all are Gem of you or Jimmy fans, if you want to really listen to what spirit sounds like, listen to Jimi Hendrix play the national anthem at Woodstock 1969.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to, you know, go listen to the Allman Brothers. Go listen to George Allman. His soul. Listen, you can listen to Millie Vanilli. Maybe not Millie Vanilli, but
because
they weren't really singing. But
yeah, they weren't.
But and maybe that's why, because that's how they got caught, because they weren't. But we don't create the greatest music. We don't. The Bob Rosses of the world don't pop up from our intellect. The intellect's great to get us. You know, I always say, like, you meet your beloved, you meet your husband, your wife, or the person you're going to spend your life with. You get to the restaurant where you go on your first date, and the GPS where you put in the coordinates of the restaurant, that's the intellect. But everything else is really just soul to soul, heart to heart. And if there's incongruency in that, then it doesn't work. If there's
right,
and that's where, but like, one of the greatest things someone ever told me about life, a coach, about how to really kind of see what I'm pointing to here, Beme, is simplicity. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for the brain to hear. Simplicity. It's not, well, you don't know what I've been through, Sam. You know?
Yeah.
I've been through therapy. I've been in therapy for 25 years. I've been in such therapy. You know, my therapist said I put in a whole salad bar and, you know, do all, like, I get it. Like, I get it. But no one's taking that away from you. But But right now in this moment, you're pretty damn perfect.
Now, Sam, yes. A question I have for you is, have you always thought this way?
No.
Like what, how did you like get there? Like what happened in your life that made you start to see things differently?
I love that question. And it's a three-pronged approach. No, there is no approach. It actually is pretty recently. I've been suffering for decades in my thinking. Mm. And if I look back at it, really got caught up. I mean, I'm a card-carrying multiple diagnosis member of the American Mental Health Association, whatever it is, Psychiatric Association. You know, I mean, I still suffer sometimes, like we all do. But then I don't, because I'm more aware of it. I see the brain's gymnastics. But I'm trying to think of the good metaphor for it, because this is really good. But it was two things. One was when I got divorced. That was kind of ground zero for me. It wasn't like the dark night of the soul, you know, you have all these Instagram memes. It was kind of the event horizon was, there it goes, the event horizon. I love that. That's when a star explodes, the event horizon, and then it dies. It's like the catalyst, okay? And then within not even 3 months, we had the worst forest fire. Talk about fires. We had the worst fire, the second worst fire in Southern California history, and almost burned down my town, and I thought I was going to die. I thought my town almost going to burn down. Followed by, after that, then we had a mudslide that killed 17 people in my small little town of Santa Barbara. And that's what, that's the thing, it wasn't that event. I thought it was. Like, I was, so this is the interesting thing, is in the middle of this horrible, horrendous fire, like it was literally looked like nuclear fallout. The sun with this fire was so bad. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Southern California is beautiful. There's natural disasters everywhere, wherever you go. Maybe not Pittsburgh, but you know, every place has its positives and negatives. But it was so bad. The fire was literally all around us in a couple miles of the area. The sun was blocked out. You couldn't even see the sun. The sky was filled with ash. It looked like nuclear winter. Not like we don't know that, but if you watch movies of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because of all the matter and particle matter in the air, you couldn't see anything, and I couldn't barely breathe. We had no power, knocked the power out. The fires were 3 miles this way, 3 miles that way. There were 405 freeway was basically on fire. The 101, it was just a mess. And I was by myself. Most of my family were either back east or in Northern California, outside of where I live. My wife left, my now ex-wife left. And so I was at the mercy of my own shit. I was in, is it Apocalypse Now or was it Platoon? Oh no, it was Full Metal Jacket. You're in a world of shit. I'm in a world of shit. My brain was doing flips. It was going back to that scene like when, you know, he's a grunt and I'm in a world of shit because, you know, the world feels like completely on top of me.
Yeah, I bet.
And nothing.
That's scary.
I was in a small, very expensive small town that I've been there almost 20 years now. You know, I had nothing. Well, I thought I had nothing. See, I was so caught up in I was really feeling my thinking. I thought it was real. But then all of a sudden, I remember it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, no power. My car that was parked in the back and under my carport, it was basically covered in soot and ash, wouldn't start because of all the particle matter was inside, you know, the engine, and it was just horrible. And for some reason, I felt so calm for no reason. Like I couldn't even explain why I felt so relaxed. Had nothing to do with the fire, had nothing to do with anything. I was just very present for no reason. And I couldn't figure out why. It was like, I'm going to die. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. Nobody knows. It was a terrible time. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from a friend who was visiting from out of the country. He was staying at someone else's house, another friend's house. And they were going to, they got they had a their rental car, and they were able to, I guess, I don't know, for God's plan, I don't know. And I get a call because the phones were still working. My cell phone was charged, thankfully. It's like, Sam, I'm going to LAX. I'm going to try to get out of here, LAX airport, Los Angeles airport. And do you want to come with me? I was like, I'm leaving. I'm leaving town. I'm like, hell yes, I want to leave town. I mean, I'm going to die here. The town's going to fucking burn down. Thankfully, the town didn't burn down. The fire didn't even come.
That's good.
All parts of the area were devastated, but not Santa Barbara. And I jumped in the car, took my valuables, passport stuff, put it in a bag, took some money out, and got on the freeway and got the hell out of there. I can't explain why I didn't freak. I could have had a heart attack, panic attack. I've had many panic attacks in my life just driving on the freeway for no reason, thinking that the car next to me is going to crash into me, thinking that the fire is going to blow out over because my brain's just caught up. Innocently caught up. But at that moment, I was fine. So seeing the incongruency in thought and thinking, seeing that it's a brain game, that it's a machine that ultimately I have agency over, that I don't have control over. But the more I notice my thinking going sideways, just noticing it, being aware of it, the more I see the game and the less it has impact over time. There's nothing you need to do about it. And in fact, the more techniques or affirmations or thought stopping techniques or EMDR, or CBT, whatever it is, and God bless people that have had success with that, I think it's way too much work. You're putting more layers of nonsense, of therapeutic nonsense on a system that settles on its own if you allow it to. Like, you know, you don't need to meditate because we're constantly in a walking meditation. You just don't pay attention to it enough. But when I saw that in myself, I'm like, how the fuck does this make any sense if I'm in the middle of a fire and I'm so calm? Like, I wasn't ready to die or anything, but I also wasn't scared. And that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Conversely, I've been on an airplane, very safe aircraft at 37,000 feet, you know? And I'm freaking out because a little bit of turbulence, knowing that the pilots are like the best in the world and like, the plane's so safe and they've done this trip 1,000 times and it's the safest, you know, the statistics point to it's the safest mode of travel. But yet I'm sitting in an unknown variable, which is Mother Nature wreaking havoc in the world around me, not knowing if my place is going to catch on fire. But yet I'm so calm there, which makes absolutely no sense. And then, you know, seeing it for what it is and seeing that it's my intellect trying to create a story around it. Well, yeah, because our brain is the greatest bullshit screenwriter, fortune teller, you know, narrator. Our brain's the greatest used car salesman in the entire world. And we pay mind to it. We think that's real.
Uh-huh.
It's all made up. And once we see the illusion, we can point back to our well-being more and also have compassion for ourselves when we do get caught up and forget, like when we do have road rage, God forbid, thankfully, and then we see it like it doesn't really matter or when we are just kind of caught up for no reason. We wake up in the morning, we're just on the wrong side of the, you know, or if just feeling anxious or our brain is pointing to stuff outside of us that is trying to convince us is the reason why we're feeling this way, knowing that it has nothing to do with anything. It's just our brain doing brain stuff. Brain's going to do what a brain's going to do. But if you try to control all that, you're just going to lead to more suffering. But, you know, the greatest thing is like just being present and going with that flow of life. Like life's got you, ladies and gentlemen. Life has got you. It really does. So that's my event horizon.
I like that, you know, that whole concept that you've been talking about this whole time, because you brought up driving and being worried that like someone's going to crash into you. I was literally today, I told my husband that I was driving into work because I go to the office on Thursdays. Yeah. I was shaking, having panic attacks. I was like, for some reason, I thought I was going to die. Yeah. I thought someone was going to hit me. I thought all this crazy stuff. But guess what? When I drove home, I was fine. Like, you're right. There's no it doesn't make any sense. You know, there's no truth behind it. It was just my brain making up a story that my brain chose to believe. And then I had panic over it. But if I can get behind my wheel again and drive home and not have those thoughts, then you're right in what you're saying. Because,
well, there's no right or wrong. It's seeing the brain. We'll just do brain stuff. It's just what a brain does. It doesn't mean it's right. It's just what a brain does. And that's why to give credence or to give any, to take it seriously and seeing that that's not who we are. Like to take our brain seriously when it's doing its mental gymnastics, unless you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger or a guy with a knife, or you're in a situation that actually is the right conditions for your brain to protect you. But you have to understand, the brain hasn't had a software update since caveman time. So you're dealing with old equipment. You're dealing with old technology. And knowing that, and just having just kind of clarity of mind that you don't have to take it on. Like, you don't have to take it on. You'll know what to do. We always know what to do. And when we don't, when we forget who we are, when we forget like the brain's games and we get caught up in our thinking, we all do, and we all do again, is to also have compassion for ourselves and give us, you know, we're all going to go crazy, not like, you know.
Right.
But crazy as in going to be scared driving on the freeway or whatever you call interstate. But then an hour later, we won't. Like, I've driven the same stretch of freeway before where I had a panic attack and I was fine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like there was a demarcation. I marked the area as like, this is where the panic attack happened. This is a famous spot. This is panic attack, exit panic attack. No, I mean, that's why the more we see the illusion, the more we see that like our central nature is well-being. Our true north, our essential self is love and well-being, is resilience, is trust, is good. That there's nothing to fix in any of us. Nothing. Because you can't fix what's not broken underneath our thinking, underneath the noise. And that's what really occurred to me 6.5 years ago when this whole natural disaster happened, and then my marriage fell apart. It's like, they're not fun events. They're not fun things.
Yeah.
But if I walked around, if I, you know, clarity of mind is everything. And I remember when I was driving by this spot on the freeway, I was like, what if I just walked around all day? What if I just drove on this road all day, neutral? Like, what if you didn't have any chatter going on in your head? What if every day, like, every stimulus outside of you would be completely neutral. Taxes would be neutral. You know, root canal would be neutral. Cancer diagnosis would be neutral. So that's the thing. It's like, we're not, our brain is creating the story. Like, we have this inner narrator. We have this inner soap opera writer that's creating the story as we go along through the motions of our day. Like, it's not like we're making it up. And the more we see like we're making it up, you see what's true and what's being made up.
Yeah.
And that's why I go back to simplicity, you know, like simplicity during a forest fire, you know, simplicity during a divorce, simplicity during financial difficulties, simplicity during name your favorite human tragedy, you know, it's top five. The war in Ukraine. You spend an hour watching those soldiers, you watching those people. They're the greatest, most prolific example, metaphor for human resilience. In the face of death and destruction, these people are still 100% on board resilient. Grandmothers with babushkas, you know, with babushkas on, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, grandmothers that are 80 something years old putting flowers, like flower power, like, and they're like, fuck you, Russians. Very politely,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's amazing to watch. You know, like, it's tragic.
Terribly tragic.
It's definitely tragic, but to see these people come together and keep fighting the fight and stand up for you know, what they believe in and their country, it's beautiful. You know, it's like, wow, like, you know, and it puts things into perspective, too. It's like, well, if these people over there are dealing with a war, like the one of the worst things that could possibly happen in your country, what am I complaining about?
But,
you know,
right.
What, you know, no, like,
no,
what?
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And the it's not even about that so much as it is that even in war-torn Ukraine, or pick your favorite major war-torn cataclysm, whether it's World War II, Ukraine, Vietnam, there are moments during the day where families are playing soccer and laughing and enjoying the moments when they're not in their thinking, when they're really present.
Yeah.
Not knowing if they're going to be alive the next day. Seeing what's important, which is presence, which is looking for a feel-good feeling. Feel-good feeling is you and I just talking right now, being really present with each other, talking heart to heart. When we are seeing who we really are, like what's important, what our essential nature is, anything really is possible. When we see that we don't have to do anything about our thinking when we are caught up, it will settle and fresh thinking will always move through us. That when we are, when our mind, if we can, like, for example, like if I go on stage and talk in front of people, I'm really anxious beforehand for nerves. There's no like emergency. It's just my anxiety is coursing through my veins. I got a lot of noradrenaline going, you know, it's not an emergency, but my brain is going a little nutty, but I still go up on stage and talk to people. Like I'm talking to you right now because I speak from the heart and I speak from experience. And not only that, but it doesn't have any rhyme or reason why the brain's doing what it's going to do. It's kind of like turbulence in an airplane. You know, we're the plane. Turbulence is just thought moving through. And the more we can see, like, the best thing you can do, like, if you talk to pilots, and I mean, not to go dark here with flying, but in the science of flight and physics, right? If a plane is in a dive, the worst thing you can do is try to pull up on the yoke and try to pull the plane out of the dive. Okay. Unless, you know, obviously if you're close to hitting the ground, it's a different story. But if you're just in a dive, it's to let go of the controls, let the plane level out on its own, which it always does. Unless it's on fire and it's close to the ground. But most dives don't start that way. The same thing with when our thinking goes sideways. The more you pay attention to that thought and thinking, the more you're focused on yourself, the harder it is in that moment to see the forest from the trees, to see outside of yourself. The less we pay attention to ourselves and more to what's going on outside of us, the less we will be caught up in that dive. The less we will be, you know, that's really the secret sauce. There's nothing you need to do. And the greatest coaches like that I've worked with and that I've heard speak and have been under their tutelage have listened for truth with their clients and wait for the thinking to settle, knowing that like everything between yeah and but, the yeah buts, right? Not
yeah,
the ins,
yeah. Gotta love
not
those.
The ins, but the yeah buts is story, is made up, created story. This is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and I can't believe this person did this to me, and I don't know how I'm da, 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 da. But then you listen for the quiet. You listen for that space after, yeah, but. Because that's where the truth is. And that's what we all can do without doing, is listening for our own truth, which is when we settle. The truth to who we are is when we settle, when we're not caught up in our thinking.
That's so true. You know, I can think of a lot of situations where it's hard for me to get quiet. But when I am, and I can just, even like watching TV is an outlet for me. I watch a lot of TV.
What's your favorite
show? It gets me. Oh, that's a hard one. Right now, it would have to be Chicago Fire and A Million Little Things. Oh, A Million Little Things is, yeah, that's probably my favorite show right now. But I love Chicago Fire, too. And From, have you watched From? That's a scary one. That's, well, it's like a psychological thriller. It's on Epix, and it's really good. The concept behind it, it's about these, like, these people get trapped in this town where there's these monsters that come out at night. And they, if you open your window, if you're like outside, they kill you, they attack you. Oh, but it's so good.
Well, it's interesting so how good. You like to, and not to analyze it, but I love that. Like, but you know, there's, have you watched Station 11?
When it first came out, I watched it like a couple episodes, okay. But I don't follow it.
The perfect example of finding beauty in an apocalypse is that. And you know, how they're still playing their music amidst the world already ended 20 years before, and they're still living and playing their music. And I'm sure Chicago Fire has moments of just beauty amidst the fires and the
and
buildings burning and people dying. And it's, you know, I always, when I don't know, I'm aging myself, but like, remember ER? The show ER?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm aging myself. Anyways. I enjoyed the moments when there's the chitter chatter dialogue, you know, between what's his name, George Clooney, and the
I remember George Clooney
and the female actors, you know, like those spaces I love the most because that was the real, that was like
me too,
and that was how you know you really saw their humanness, you know, and for me, when I'm really caught up. Like the other day, I was like, oh, like, holy shit, fuck. And then I walked out, went outside. I went outside. I walked down the block. You know, it was spring. You can smell jasmine in the air. Beautiful Southern California day. And I just like, oh, shit. I caught up. I totally took the bait. And we all take the bait. All of us.
Yeah,
but it's just a matter of time when our thinking settles, and but it's having that hope and faith in that things settle. They do. They always do. And it's having faith in that you know what to do, even amidst the turmoil in your life, even amidst getting caught up temporarily, knowing that the plane, to going back to the turbulence metaphor, where the pilot will find a smoother altitude. You know, well, our brain finds that smoother thought altitude automatically. We don't have to do anything about it. That's a truth. And if your brain's really noisy, then, you know, I always say medication's like a software update. It's like a patch, software patch. It's so true though. Like people think, oh, it's like, I have my medication. It's terrible. Well, you know, it's a machine. Machine sometimes needs tools. Sometimes needs an app. It's an app. It's a neurochemical app, but it is like, it really is like, if you, and that's where, like, I'm saying, like, listen, who you are doesn't need, you know, the essence to who you are underneath all that thinking does never needs a nap, because who you are is perfect. Cause we all come from that same energy that I've been pointing to during this conversation, but the brain is like moving parts. It's going to fuck up. It's going to glitch. And sometimes you need that. You know, that app, that new app, you need to download a new app just to.
That's true. Yeah. When it comes to medications, I don't like medications, but there was a point in my life where I did take them. But now I'm prescribed medical marijuana for my anxiety and PTSD. And the only way I can sleep without nightmares is if I take, I don't smoke anymore, but I have to take, I mean, if I don't take my pill at night, I don't sleep. And the only way that I can have a functional day is if I sleep, right? We need to sleep. So, but that's like the only substance I put into my body once a day at night. And you're right, like, and hopefully, you know, one day I won't need it anymore. But right now, that's what my body needs to be able to be okay and to stop my brain just for like a moment, you know?
Yeah, and just knowing that and having the you know, clarity of mind to see, like, if that's what you need, that's the app that you need to download. When you eat it, the edible, but I'm assuming it's an edible, then that's it. You knew what to do. You knew what to do to take care of yourself. And we all have that within us. We're just not paying attention to the inner, you know, we have this inner wisdom within us. Underneath, it's not from the intellect. As I mentioned, you know, you want to solve equations or do physics or, you know, be an engineer, rely on the intellect. But you know, we use the technology called the intellect, the brain, way too much. Because we think that's where all the answers are. And we've been proven time and time again, when we're bumping up against our intellect, our experience, our conditioning, our belief systems, there's limited option with that. It only goes so far. And then you have to look beyond that, because again, exhibit A is that we don't do our best work when we're from our brain. That's a fact. That's a truth. We don't, again, fall in love. We don't create. We don't write our music, or we don't paint our painting. We don't get that job. Yeah, obviously, training, you know, you need to start somewhere. Yeah. But knowledge, skills, and abilities is not the sum total of our thinking. Knowledge, skills, and abilities, our KSAs, come from somewhere else. Because if it did, and if it just came from our brain, we'd all be doing the same stuff. I'll be working at a factory when, like, you know, like in I Love Lucy and like putting widgets together all day. Like, shit. So if you need an example of this understanding, like that we're living in a world of our thinking, not of our outside circumstances, just look at your own like daily life. Like you like that you know, you like Chicago Fire. Well, not some people don't like Chicago Fire. There's something about that. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Your husband who's a musician. He doesn't create from his brain. He gets to the gig with his brain, right? He gets in the car and drives to the gig or performs from wherever. He'll maybe turn his amplifier on with the brain, tune his guitar with the brain, right? Because he's memorized the you know, what A sounds like on his guitar if he plays.
Right.
But he doesn't. He's not creating from the brain. He's creating from that space. As I mentioned before, it's that space before thought. It's the alchemical goal. It's what all the great thinkers and sages have been talking about. It's Terence McKenna talks about, like, you know, you've heard that, I'm sure, the Terence McKenna quote, where it's like, once you see it on the other side of fear and anxiety is that feather bed. It really turns out to always be a feather bed. And the anxiety and fear means absolutely nothing, unless you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger. Then
it has unless it's like true
weight.
Fear,
right?
Like real fear, fear for your life. That's a thing.
Well, when there's a physical, when there's a tiger growling at you and it's looking at you like it's hungry, that's an actual fear. Or
yes,
but most of the time, most of us are not being growled at by a tiger in Pittsburgh or Santa Barbara.
Now, I really hope not. But Sam,
so.
I could talk about this for eons, but I want to make sure I get to the point here of, you know, if people wanted to connect with you further, like where can they find you?
Sure. My website is samledconsulting.com, and I don't book hourly sessions. Usually most of my clients, they book a year experience working with me. Mm. So there's a set fee for that. And it's a sliding scale. People, you know, I don't disqualify someone because they can't, you know, can't afford it per se. We always work out stuff. And also my Instagram, if you want to learn about kind of my work and what I do, what my spiel is, it's Samled Consulting, LED. And you can contact me in any of those two places, or Facebook, Samled Consulting, LED.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. And my last question for you is what I ask all of my guests. And what would be your number one tip for our listeners to allow the good things into their lives?
That's a great question. And I love that question. Noticing right now, as you listen to my voice, noticing right now, just seeing like how amazing it is just to be alive right now. Even if outside of you it doesn't seem like that, or you know, maybe you may not have all your finances in a row, you may not, you know, nothing maybe outside of you is looking that great, but just notice right now how special this moment is, because that's what I'm pointing. That's what the gift called life is.
Love that. Yeah. Live in the now, because, like, you know, that one day at a time thing, you know, you can't focus on the past and don't project to the future. Live right now.
And if you do, then that's fine too. Because
yeah. We all do. That's a really hard thing to do all the time, right?
You can't get it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You really can't. You can never get it wrong. And that's not some idealistic, you know, coaching stuff. That's the truth. The truth to who you are is underneath all that noise. Mm. It's in that space that all the great sages have pointed to. It's that space before all the noise, which we experience every day of our lives. We're just not paying attention to.
Well, thank you so much, Sam, for this wonderful conversation and for your time on the show. And as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you're stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.